Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, I'm trying something new and hopefully we might have addressed some of the technology issues that have been so painful. So
plaguing lately. Us?
Yes, they have been plaguing us. Our assignment from yesterday was, how do you know? Ooh.
Are you still there? Perhaps the plague continues.
Okay, can you hear me now, Sherry?
Yes.
Never
oh
say that, right? Never say you
right.
Called me.
Tempting the devil.
Tempting the devil. So the assignment from yesterday was, how do you know that's what they are? Who says so? So how do you know that's what they are, being the strengths and weaknesses, and who says so? So here we go. Here's our first caller.
All right.
Now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, goodness.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina from Southern California. Good morning.
Hello, Christina. Good morning.
Oh, this is fun.
We're so happy you're here and we can hear you.
Yes, indeed. And it's fun because I'm on the Wi-Fi, you know, because I'm at work and I can't actually get cell reception in my office. So it's neat to be able
wow.
to connect via Wi-Fi, yeah.
Boy, you know, we think we live in such modern times, right? And then we just step a little bit out of the and realize, ooh, it's still a bit tenuous.
Exactly. Disconnected from my cellular device
yeah.
in the building.
Yeah. Right. Horrors. So what's going on? What are you seeing?
Well, gosh, this has been eye-opening. This whole retreat has been incredibly powerful, and I feel like every day I'm just having another, like, huge awareness around just opening up and really accepting that I'm a human being having a human experience, and you know, looking at the strengths and the weaknesses, and you know, seeing how it really is. All of that's independent of my, well, let's say it's intertwined because it's part of my humanity, but I also, like, the truth of who I am exists wholly independent of that. But because I'm human, I get kind of, you know,
yes.
I get pulled in.
Yeah, well, we're suspended in between, right? That's such a... you know, I don't know if it's all spiritualities, but that view that we are, as human beings, we are suspended between earth and heaven.
Yeah.
That kind of notion, both
yeah.
of which really are notions. But and that, to me, that's what you're seeing, that you realize your goodness is established, authenticity is, Buddha nature animates you, and as a conditioned human being, there's all this stuff that we still get caught up in.
Yes, and so I'm tempted to call that, like, you know, the indulging the conversations of egocentric karmic conditioning or looking to conditioned mind for answers, all of those things, I'm tempted to call them weaknesses. And at the same time, you know, when we get to the question that we looked at yesterday about how do I know that's what they are and what says so, then I really get to see, well, isn't that interesting? Because maybe those aren't my weaknesses. That, you know, as you always say, that's my best opportunity to wake up. So in some ways, we might be able to call that my strength, right? Like, they keep
yes.
showing up, and I keep getting
yes.
to look at it and you know, peel back that next layer of the onion, you know, and just
uh-huh.
I get to see
yeah.
what's next. And every time I do that, it's for lack of a better way to describe it, it's like I'm lifting a little bit more. I'm opening just that much more, and it's all the sweeter and all the more encouraging, and the willingness to keep at it is there. It's stronger. It feels stronger anyway. It's probably always been strong, but I feel it more often maybe.
You're more aware of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're more aware of it. Well, that's interesting when you lay it out that way, because we have a chance to see that it's ego making those, doing the labeling.
Yeah.
Right? And so it not only does it claim the strengths as its own, you know, so ego wants to take credit for being intelligent, or wants to call privilege the result of having worked hard.
Right. Yes.
If you're right there with me. and then it turns around and calls everything that it's doing weaknesses, and gives us its self-improvement program to get over those weaknesses, which, of course, we know is simply designed to keep us in relationship with ego.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. As tempting as it is to hop on that train, the train of self-improvement, that is.
Oh, talk about deep grooves, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right from the get-go, we are meant to identify what is wrong with us and figure out how to fix it. I mean, that's the mark of the right, good, intelligent human being. That's what we're expected to do. And if we do it and all of this stuff works in our favor, then ego wants us to take credit for, see, you did a good job. You are the right person, and that's why your life is working. And which is, you know, the tragedy in that, to me, is that then we run into that life experience that proves to us none of that is true.
Yeah.
And we see how everything has been a gift to us. We actually mm-hmm. didn't earn it. We don't mm-hmm. deserve it. It doesn't make us better. We're not the right people. And the kinds of things that ego calls tragedy will befall us right along with all those people that we decided are the wrong people.
I'm going to ask something, and maybe this is too big for a conversation for this morning, and I'm completely open to having this maybe on open air or something. But when you say that, it raises for me something I've really been grappling with lately, and that is that, you know, in my line of work, you know, I've recently taken a job which has put me back in a space of confronting, like, some of the darkest parts of humanity mm-hmm. and lots of violence. And it has been so, on the one hand, intellectually, I really get that every person on this planet is going through the same experience that I am, just on different content levels and with different, with, you know, it plays out in very different ways, causing different levels of harm, let's say, if we can even judge it that way, which I guess we probably shouldn't. But on the other hand, it just, like, I feel like I want to just focus on the light, you know, like as a spiritual practice. Yet the darkness is just right there, and I don't want to just be ignoring it either. And so I don't know what I'm asking, but somehow...
This is what just dropped in, so okay. I don't know if it'll speak to it, and okay. we can certainly continue this conversation in another venue, because it's kind of the point.
Okay.
But the place that I always come back to, it's one of those little parable places, but I'm just grateful that I've never wanted to have sex with children.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
because I don't believe for a second that I would have been any different with that choice than I was with the choices that I made that were far more acceptable to society.
Right. I like it when you frame it that way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I look at it like that, I can find those dark, every one of those dark places in me.
Yeah.
And all I can do is be grateful that when that encouragement came my way to act that out, whatever combination was going on, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
And that's all, that's the only difference that I can see between me and anybody else with whatever probably completely unconscious choices that they made in the same way that for much of my life, all of my choices were unconscious.
I see. So it's the focus is on the gratitude, just sticking with gratitude as the place.
Right, the gratitude and the realization that I'm not doing this. So I cannot go to a place of moral superiority. I can just go to a place of gratitude and compassion for all of us.
Not weighing harm. Thank you. Yeah. That's really helpful. I appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure, Christina. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, take care.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And in this case, really, go happy.
Thanks, Christina. You know, Sherry, that was such a helpful conversation because what I saw in when you were saying that is if it's that I'm born, from the beginning of beginningless time, right, we embrace all karma as a way of being free from it. Because that moving to seeing what in me or what controls me that might cause me to act in that way in different contents doesn't create separation. That's what I saw, that the judgment separates us. But acknowledging that we are all subject to the same forces to choose darkness instead of light is true compassion. I think that's what Christina started us off with. We are human beings suspended between the darkness and the light and conditioned to make choices that are dark. That's our humanity, and therefore compassion comes from the true acceptance of that possibility exists in all of us, and we connect through the recognition that we are compelled to make choices out of unconsciousness, and that is the unconditional acceptance of what is so. And that doesn't separate.
Yeah.
From that place, it's possible to do what moves us in a way that the how is so different from non-separation.
Yes. From separation or non-separation?
From non.
Oh, I see what you're saying. When we have a non-separate orientation, the process is so different. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because
well,
it comes from
when
the
you
past.
Were. Yeah. And when you were saying that, I thought about that quote that I love so much that a dear friend said years ago. Love answers all the questions that judgment fails to hear.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think the confusion we have, the bamboozling is, if I went to that place of acceptance of all of that, it's a condoning of it. Well, it isn't.
Yes.
Because it doesn't alter what we do or what we choose. It just alters where it comes from. I think it's that Gandhi quote, right? Where there's injustice, I always believe in fighting. But do I fight to change things or do I fight to punish? I've always believed in leaving punishment to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it is a wide road to ending self-hate.
Yes.
Because when we acknowledge all of this within ourselves, when we see that non-separate perspective, then what is the point of self-hatred? What is the point of judgment? What is it? It's just simply how it is. And now we work to make the best conscious, compassionate, unconditionally loving choices that we can.
Exactly. And it tells us what self-hatred does, right? It drives us to the darkness. It keeps us in the darkness because we're not able to go to that place of expanded awareness where we can see that that's not what we authentically are.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Whew.
Starting off big this morning. Right.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Karen, and I wasn't expecting to be unmuted, but I'm really happy to be. Yeah, can you
hear
me?
Good. Yeah, perfectly.
Yeah. I loved that conversation. I have never heard that perspective, and thank you for the generosity of that, because it gives it just gives such a wonderful place to go with those with that content, with, you know, things, the dark side kind of. It's just, that was just very, very helpful, so thank you.
Oh, good, yeah.
And yeah, to go to gratitude, that I've never, that's never been something I've had to, you know, grapple with. Just, yeah, tremendous gratitude. And yes, I can, when I really look, I can see all kinds of things in me. I think I said once when I was really angry about how I could understand how people could fly a plane into a building with anger, you know, it just really helps to see that. And, you know,
yes.
And thank goodness,
oh,
I would never.
Gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank goodness. No matter how angry I am, I might have that thought, but I don't act on it. And
yeah.
It's no credit to me. None. So, you know, one of the places that an awful lot of privileged folk deal with is food choices. You know, food, good wine, microbrewery beers, you know, all of these kinds of privileged people options, and overdoing it,
yes.
Right? And struggling with eating too much, not being able to say no to sugar, you know, those kinds of things. And they're so benign, right? There's such an opening for self-hatred, but it's not, you know, it's not like you're harming anybody. It's not,
yeah.
You know, but what if it were heroin?
Yeah. Yeah, there's.
Yeah, it's no credit to me that I want cupcakes instead of heroin.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ever made that as a conscious choice? I don't even know how those kinds of directions get. I mean, we can say karma, but I don't even know anything about that.
Yeah. No, it's very humbling when. It's very, very humbling to me to just to sit here and be grateful for the types of challenges that I've had in my life. And you're right, I can't take credit for any of it. You know, if I try to look back, it's all the gifts and the what I would consider not gifts, which are probably gifts too. You can never see where it came from or why it's so, or it just is. And
yeah. Then great sympathy for, I mean, so, you know, the one that you brought up, being so angry that you could fly a plane into a building. And then,
yeah.
and to realize what a hell state that is. I mean, that is not rational, conscious person. That is somebody in a health state, and they are in such a health state that they are driven to do horrific things,
yeah.
Primarily to other people. They've gotten to a place where there's no more connection to humanity, their own humanity. So there's no empathy, no sympathy, no relating. That is, you know, the desire to punish someone in a state that is already unspeakable. Unspeakable punishment.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, I just think anger was a very specific content, a very specific anger was what brought me to practice and brought me to a TINW retreat, because I couldn't get beyond this one story in my head. And and it's just been, you know, one of the greatest teachings of my life. And, you know, and I, anyway, it's just, it's been, and it's been, it has given me a perspective of why, of how people can act out in the world. And it just, like you say, thank goodness, I was just horrified at some of the thoughts in my head. That's what brought me to practice. And, but some people don't have, you know, they wouldn't be able to not act on their thoughts.
Exactly.
And anyway, so what I, so that's kind of what I was, have seen about the whole assignment. I what, you know, how do you know? And who says so? It's like, yeah, I came to a place of, well, you never do know. And, you know, that some of the biggest challenges and the whatever karma we get, or in my case, that anger, that story in my head that wouldn't go away, it became one of my biggest strengths, I guess you'd say, or one of the biggest gifts, or and that's where that assignment took me, is
And what a miracle, right? That you knew that there was, that you could do something about that, right?
Yeah.
That when that story kept playing over and over and was so more and more and more upsetting, you realized, I'm in trouble here. I need to address this.
Yeah.
Whereas another person who doesn't recognize it just becomes more and more convinced, more and more upset.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's like a hand that, you know, just kind of comes in and gently steers us onto another path.
Yeah.
We don't even ask, and we're steered.
Yeah. And how does that happen? I mean, it's like such gratitude for that. It was such an impossible sort of, it really was a miracle that steered me there.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, it just is incredible. It always brings me back to that.
The lyrics.
Yes.
Well, you were going with the turtle that comes up in the middle of the ocean, right? The tortoise.
Yeah.
Through the ring. And I was going to the lyrics of Amazing Grace.
Yes.
Yep.
All of
which
that.
The same pointing at the same process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, Karen.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for
much gratitude. Okay.
Same
bye-bye.
Here. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. And I was going to the Merit for All Good Acts. I do freely offer to all beings.
All one process, huh?
All one process. And, you know, it keeps coming back. I mean, there's such gratitude that this practice exists, and what this practice offers is going beyond self-hate. Because it's listening to the self-hate that causes us to be so separate from what we truly are, that we are caused to do those. I mean, we can recognize the force that negates us to such an extent that we feel so separate from what we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I this little prayer dropped in for me the other day. I mean, maybe I heard it somewhere, and I don't remember it. But, you know, the may all beings in suffering, may all beings find peace, that kind of. And it was, may we all feel the love that makes us want to love. Because that feels like the missing piece, you know, when we are so divorced from that love that animates us, then we have no choice but to do things that come out of a lack of love.
Yes. Wow. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Paige from Seattle.
Hi, Paige.
Long time no talk. And what do I see? I tell you what. So lately, I have a lot of books on my nightstand, and one of them I've been reading is this woman. Her name is Brené Brown, and her latest is called something about surviving the wilderness. And I got to a passage that touched a chord in me that made me start crying. And it's really an old story about, you know, lack of belonging or connectedness and that heartache. The story was about how when she was
Let me interrupt you. Let me interrupt you right now. Do you have a recording and listening practice?
It's spotty. I do, but it's spotty. I'll tell you that much.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna tell you this much, okay? That getting to a recording and listening practice where you experience for yourself, within yourself, we could say from yourself, although we quickly get to a place of questioning that, realizing it comes from a very different place in ourselves than we usually are, is going to bring you much more of what you're seeking than will reading somebody else's stories and going to a place of emotion based on that.
That's why I'm calling, because I find that, because I'm also in, I go to counseling with a woman who's, she actually teaches classes in the Insight meditation community. And I feel like I get ping-ponged around. So I asked her about.
That's my point, Paige. That's my point, Paige. Stop doing that.
And so,
stop
doing that. Her advice to me, I just wanted to just get to this one thing, is that her advice to me was, you know, oh, okay, so, because I said what resonated with me about this practice was just to dismiss the stories and don't worry about the fact that you don't have this sense of self. That's what Brené is big about, this sense of self. And I'm like, you know, that doesn't seem like I don't. And so she was like, okay. Yes, but you have a sense of self before you supersede the sense of self. And then I'm just like,
yeah. Paige, that's why I really encourage people. once you've had the experience of what you know you're going for,
right?
Then noodling around with other things just takes you to where you are currently, right? So I'm going to tell you that actually, no, you don't need a sense of self before you let go the illusion of a separate self, any more than you need conditioned mind to go grocery shopping. Those are really, or any more than ego is hardwired. These are all great notions, and it's fine that's somebody's experience. And of course, we like to, you know, talk about what our experience is. I certainly would never fault anybody for that. However, you know the experience you're going for. And so it's like you're on, you're going to New York, and you've got your map, and you've laid it out, and you know where you're going, and then it says Louisiana, 1580, and you make a right turn and head toward Louisiana. Now, if you just want a giant road trip, that's great. And there are probably fascinating things to see and find in Louisiana, but you were going to New York. So my encouragement is go to New York, and then from there, look at whatever else might strike your fancy. Is that little parable hanging together?
Very much. You knew exactly where I was going.
Okay. Good
woman. You knew exactly the hole that I'd fallen in.
Yeah. Yep. So my encouragement is, you know, just take those books, put them on the bookshelf, And put your recorder right there on the night table. Record before you go to bed. Listen to your recordings when you wake up. If you wake up in the middle of the night in a state, listen to your recordings. And then in the morning, pick up your little recorder, take it with you during the day, and keep track of your practice and keep coming back to where you know you want to be, which is here.
Very good.
All right. Thank you, Paige.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashley.
Thanks, Paige. It's been a powerful show, Sherry, and we're already at
the we've covered some ground, haven't we?
Yes, we certainly have.
Oh, so what a great song.
I think the question, exactly. So the question for today is a brilliant one and speaks exactly to what Paige was saying. What do you need in order to be happy? Get picky with this one. Give details. Elaborate. Carry on at length. Draw pictures. Name names. And record and listen.
Uh-huh. What do you need to be happy?
Yeah, what do you need in order to be happy?
It's good. That's fun.
Very good.
All right. Thank you so much, Ashwini. And thank you to everybody.
Thank
Treasure
you,
yourself, please.
Go happy.
Go happy.